This is Tactical Advantage with John Register, presented by Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, Wirenut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Tactical Advantage brings news, information, and resources to military-connected people of color throughout the Pikes Peak region. Now, here's your host, John Register.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to the Tactical Advantage. This is Mike Lewis sitting in for John Register today as another day of learning awaits us. We've got a few upcoming events I'd like to share with you just real quick. The Women's Veterans Group meets every Friday at Mount Carmel from 12:30 to 1:30. Financial Wellness Workshops also being held weekly at Mount Carmel Wednesdays through July 28th, and they're scheduled from 6 to 7:30 p.m. The Veterans Art Exhibit is now on display at Studio West Galleries, located at 22 North Sierra Madre through July 23rd. And the next free food distribution drive from Mount Carmel is scheduled on Thursday, July 22nd. Today on the Tactical Advantage, our show focuses on the Military Consumer Protection Month. So let's get started right now with the Tactical Advantage. And this is Mike Lewis sitting in for John Register. It is a pleasure to be here for Tactical Advantage. We've got a couple of guests here. Now, our first guest, Liz Foster, no stranger to this program. Liz is a financial fitness coach and a financial wellness coordinator and with Mount Carmel. Liz, it's good to see you again.
Good morning. Thank you. It's good to see you again, too.
And we'd also like to welcome in Mike Viersbaugh. He is with Ent Credit Union, Community Education Program Lead and Financial Wellness and Education Partner with Mount Carmel. Welcome.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
All right, Mike, we've got some important information we're going to talk about. July is Military Consumer Protection Month. And if you are, even if you're not a member of the military, we're going to put out some important information because, unfortunately, there are scams that are going on. They seem like they're nonstop. And we want to do our do some education here and let people know what's been going on, what you can do to protect yourself. Liz, let's go ahead and dive right in. We are coming out of the pandemic, thankfully.
Yes.
I think we're all grateful for that. But during the pandemic, what did we see? And I want to go ahead and make this all-encompassing because people were locked down. We were relying more on internet. We were relying more on Zoom for conference meetings, things like that. What did that mean when it comes to identity theft and fraud and issues like that?
Yeah, so I think generally, you know, it makes us all more vulnerable when we're online more. And so putting some good protections in place for ourselves, you know, just across the board, I think all kinds of fraud and scams increased. Certainly, we were seeing people's identity being stolen in terms of when they're filing for unemployment. So someone else is falsely filing claims and receiving, you know, the unemployment benefits. And I think that across the nation, our departments of labor, you know, were doing, as the year went on and more of this was happening, they were, you know, beefing up their own security to the point where I think starting, it was either January or February, with Colorado, the people filing for claims were having to go through an identity verification process, which on the one hand it was good, but made the process a little more complicated for folks filing for unemployment, first-time claims, or reclaiming, you know, doing new claims.
Sure, it slowed things down, but there was a good reason to do that because you want to make sure the money is going where it needs to go.
And absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Another thing that I would imagine was impacted, the government put out stimulus checks and payments. How did that money, extra money going into the system, so to speak, and fraud, how did those two things intersect?
Well, you know, anytime you have more money going out there and it's almost everyone receiving it and coming from the government. So there's, you know, bank fraud. If people were receiving physical checks, then there's the potential of the checks being stolen out of, you know, mailboxes, that kind of stuff.
And then taxes were delayed. They people were given extra time to file because of COVID.
Yes.
And I would imagine there were probably some fraud issues going on, people talking about their refunds and things like that.
Yeah, so one of the key things that you saw a lot was due to this influx, this raising in how many people were going for unemployment, how much they were receiving for unemployment, and the stimulus checks going out. And each one of these kind of created its own pocket, in essence, of these different frauds and scams that were going on. So with the huge influx of people that were going for unemployment, they had to, you know, file extra things. And so they essentially lightened how deeply they looked into each claim, because they were saying, well, these people, they need these funds to live, to get by. So we're going to get them out there. And if there is some less than honest cases of that happening, or people who aren't really who they say they are receiving these funds, that's kind of the price that you pay. So we saw an increase in how many benefits were going to the wrong people or for the wrong causes. We saw all of these, you know, companies that were fake that would pop up and say, hey, you know, if you haven't received that stimulus check yet, reach out to us. We'll help accelerate the process and get you those funds as soon as possible. So all of these things came through that were just essentially new opportunities for people being taken advantage of. All of these coming through and, you know, fake jobs being posted in different areas because people were needing work. And they're saying, oh, yeah, just apply here. We'll just get your information real quick and we can put you into that pool and hopefully we'll get you a job. And yeah, all we need is your social and your birthday and your address and your general information. We'll make, you know, we want to help you out. So all of these things coming through due to what we faced last year in the pandemic were, you know, huge upticks and just rampant issues that we faced because of the situation we were in.
Well, Mike and Liz, I know from personal experience having looking for work in the past, and you need to do this. A lot of things, you've got Indeed.com, ZipRecruiter, and a bunch of different websites that help people find jobs, and it's done through the web, which is great. But one of the things they ask you to do is, well, post your resume. Well, guess what's on your resume? Your email, and they tell you, go ahead and put your phone number on there so a potential employer can reach you. However, there are other people looking at that information. So now you've increased your visibility for your email and your cell phone number, and I'm sure the fraudsters are looking at that too.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've, you know, in the past experienced the same thing. You get texts like, you know, or emails that say, hey, we have a job for you, especially if someone is interested in, you know, the work from home opportunity. Oh, you know, send us your information and, you know, maybe $50 or $100 and we'll, you know, get you started on this opportunity. And, you know, generally speaking, if you have to pay for someone to send you information about a job, then
red flag.
Yes, definite red flag. So, yeah, and to your question about, you know, the tax fraud, that has been increasing exponentially over the years. And that, as you can imagine, can take months for someone to resolve. So what happens is someone's identity is stolen and a not very nice person will take that information, name, social address, and file a tax return. And then if funds are, if a refund is going to be sent, they receive the money. And then the real person goes and files their taxes and the IRS says, oh, hey, you've already filed your return and we've already sent your refund. So that's, and it's a quite a lengthy process to get that straightened out. So,
Let's go ahead and talk about some just good, solid overall advice. I would imagine if someone's like myself, you get inundated with email. It's just, it is what it is. And full disclosure, I'm a member of Ant, been a member of Ant for years, and I do get legitimate emails from Ant Credit Union. But how, when I'm opening and going through email, and this is for all of our listeners right now, what do you need to be, is there some clues or things you can look at quickly so this is a legitimate email or this is something that I need to really be careful about? What do people need to be running through their mind when they're going through that? Mike, if you'd like to address that, please do.
Yeah, so when we're looking at different emails and just forms of contact in general, phone, text, all of these different forms of communication, there's a few key things that you're going to be paying attention to. Obviously, you know, the old school, is there typos and is it broken English? You know, anything that's going through a corporate communication is going to be seen by multiple eyes. So chances are it's very few and far between that you're ever going to see those typos, grammatical errors, things like that. So that's going to be your first big tip off. Also, looking just at the email, as you said earlier, you know, we used to be Ent Federal Credit Union. Now we're Ent Credit Union. So making sure that the titling and the name of who you're receiving that from is correct, the email address matches up. There's also some just kind of tried and true things of, we may send you something, and if it has a link, we try not to. You know, there's going to be times when there's links and, hey, go here. But a lot of the times, just if there's a link in that email that you see, don't click on that. Just jump online, you know, type ent.com or wherever it is. If you get reached out to by whatever company that may be, instead of clicking on that link in the email, just open up your Internet Explorer or Chrome or whatever you use and go to their website. Find it that way because there's going to be all these ways to change the way that a link looks or shorten and hyperlink things that are going to throw that off. It's the same way if you're receiving a call from someone, there's something called spoofing phone numbers, you know, where it looks like ENT or whatever business is calling you, but it's not. That's not actually us on the other end of the phone. So if you ever receive a call from one of those companies and they say, hey, can you just verify this? It's okay to just say, you know, before I verify anything, I'm just going to hang up and call you guys back. You know, hang up and then call ENT or call that business back and say, hey, I was on the phone with this person. Can you reconnect me? Or chances are whoever answers may be able to help you with the exact same thing. So taking those extra steps to protect yourself can go a really long way.
Sure. So if it doesn't feel right, there's nothing wrong with taking an extra step because you may be protecting yourself in the long term.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And even with emails, you know, looking at who sent it, looking at that from email address. If it, you know, if the extension isn't like ent.com, but they say they are, then probably it's not for Mint or whoever.
And I was going to, I'm glad you said that, Liz, because I got an email. It was from a major company saying, we wanted to verify your order. But when I looked at the address, it was somebody's name at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like, well, why would so-and-so company send me an email with a Gmail account? So that was, I immediately hit delete.
Mm-hmm.
So good advice that you're both sharing with us today. What about credit card fraud? That's another big problem, correct?
It is a big problem. So I don't know the numbers last year. I think Mike might have those. But, you know, basically, so protecting, you know, it happens, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, there's dishonest people out there. So protecting ourselves by, you know, monitoring our accounts, whether it's any financial account, going in at least once a week. Make sure the transactions are legit. Did you really spend your money at this business? You know, a lot of all the credit card companies now in financial institutions are really good about if they suspect fraud. Mm-hmm. So if you live in Colorado Springs and a transaction happened in Cancun, you might get a text from them and say, hey, is this transaction legit? And then you can either approve it or not. So that's been a really great improvement, I think, over the past few years.
Because you may be on vacation, and it's completely legit.
Absolutely, but maybe it isn't, you know. So, but if you're not receiving those kind of alerts, you know, just going in and checking your accounts, making sure the transactions are legit. And then if they're not, if there's something wrong, disputing it with the institution.
I know a lot of times when you shop or buy things, that you're asked the question either by a person or electronically, do you want a receipt? It's probably not a bad idea to go ahead and always get a receipt because then you can match up everything that's on the statement to, yeah, I did go to such and such store 3 weeks ago, and yes, I spent $41.20 or whatever it is, making that up, but you know what I mean.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then also, you know, if some fraud happens, you can lock down your credit account. You can lock down your credit with the credit bureaus. Mm-hmm. You can put a fraud alert, freeze your credit. Those are all really great things to do. People are starting to travel again, which is really great, going overseas. So if you're going to do that and, you know, alert your institutions, your credit cards and your bank, hey, I'm going overseas. So you might see transactions that are in Mexico or Paris or whatever. And so they go through, they'll go through.
And you don't get the hold, exactly.
Right, yeah.
Let's go ahead and pivot for a moment, if we may, to the Military Lending Act. What is the primary function of that act, and how does it protect members of the armed forces?
Yeah, so Military Lending Act, or MLA, is something you're going to hear a lot about whenever you're really discussing lending or auto loans as a whole, and it's confusing. I think that's the nice way to put it, because it says, you know, oh, it's limited to 36%. You go, okay, so the interest rate. And nope, the MAPR, the military annual percentage rate, is limited to 36%. So they're adding already something that's confusing and they're saying, let's make it more complicated. But what it really means is they're looking at the overall interest that's being accrued or the overall additional charges that are being placed against you versus the money that you borrowed. And that's looking at all ancillary products. So it's not just your interest rate, it's your interest rate. Are you getting a warranty? Are you getting these other protections placed on the loan for just $50 or just for $5 more per month? You can get this. All these little charges that you see that get racked on top of one another whenever you're going through this process, it's this calculation of adding up all of those and seeing, how much is this actually costing? How much extra money am I going to have to spend on this $25,000 car? And does that become over a 36% calculation charge against me? And that's what it's trying to protect our military members from. We see it a lot because interest rates can be ridiculous. This is something that massively impacts, especially, you know, our young service members. Those guys that are getting into the service, or those women that are getting into the service, and they want to go buy that first really nice car because they joined up.
They got that paycheck coming out.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the lenders know it, so that it's coming every 2 weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they see them walking in the on the lot or whatever it is, probably walking through the doors.
Oh, yeah.
So these service members are getting into these really high interest loans because they haven't established credit before. Right. And you think of, you know, risk-based lending, and instead of having a 5% loan, they have a 15% loan. And then all of these additional things, warranties and gap and, you know, debt forgiveness or cancellation type products that can go through. And it's essentially just trying to make sure that they're protected from being charged far more than is acceptable, really, for the money that they're being lent.
What if someone does, a military member does business with someone, business, whatever type of business, and they violate this act? Is there recourse after the fact?
So, for the most part, it should be being watched within every given lender. So, all of the questions that you go through, right? It's, you want to apply for a loan, you're going to play a game of, you know, not 20 questions, it feels like 50 questions. And some of those should be, you know, are you active duty? Are you serving? Are you military? Anything like that? Because it should then go into a computer system that doesn't allow that percentage rate to be done, whether that's on the back end servicing or the underwriters who are paying attention to it. Someone along the way should be stopping it. When it is violated, that goes through a system that even within the financial industry, I'm not familiar with. There is legal ramification for that, just like if any other financial regulation was violated.
Okay.
So a consumer can file a complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, so consumerfinance.gov, and the CFPB will do an investigation. So they will contact the lender, and if there is you know, if they violated that rule, then they will work with the lender. They will require the lender to change it. So, and, you know, they'll even investigate to see if, you know, oh, is this happening? Is this a one-off or are there multiple? So, and if there are many consumers who have been defrauded, so to speak, they will fine the lender. So it's a great, so that's consumerfinance.gov and tons of information.
That's great that act is out there to protect the military and others, actually.
Yeah.
How about the Service Members Civil Relief Act? What do military members need to know about that piece of legislation?
Yeah, so SCRA is, it's something that should be used extremely often. Yeah. And, you know, I'm happy to get the information out there because I feel there's a lot of service members who should be taking advantage of this. It is something where any type of credit that you took out prior to joining the service. So if you took out a credit card and bought a new car and all of these other actions to build up your credit, and then you join active duty, all of the interest rates on those products are limited to 6%. So that's going to be, if you've got a credit card that's at 15% and you've got a balance on there that you're trying to pay down, you've now gone active duty, you can file that with the financial group or financial partner that you have on that credit card or loan, give them your papers, basically, you know, here's my active duty papers. I'm currently going through that. And I started on this day.
Excellent.
As long as that day is after when you took out this initial piece of credit, they're required then to back that interest down to 6%. So for service members especially who get into things like credit card debt prior to joining the service, it can be a huge, huge money saving act for them. Because, you know, interest rate, it adds up really fast, actually. So when you can get that, you know, common credit card of being 15% to 25%.
Sure.
Yeah. Cut that down to 6. You know, month to month, that can really
make
paying
off
that debt.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It's a huge impact.
Mike and Lewis, we'll hold you over for another segment. We appreciate it. We're learning a lot of things today. Mike Lewis sitting in for John Register. You are listening to Tactical Advantage.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
It's time to smile again. At Star Dental Institute, Dr. Gary Moore and his staff specialize in general dentistry, dentures, and orthodontics, as well as sedation dentistry and dental implants at affordable rates. With COVID-19 restrictions being lifted, now is the perfect time to visit Star Dental Institute, Colorado Springs' premier full-service dentistry office and one-day denture service center. The message is basic. It's safe to come back to the dentist. To schedule an appointment, call 719-597-7979 or online at dentalcoloradosprings.com. Star Dental Institute, proud sponsor of Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
And welcome back to Tactical Advantage. I'm Mike Lewis, covering for John Register. It's our pleasure to bringing you some very important information. We're going to continue with our guest from segment one, Liz Foster. She is a financial fitness coach, among other things, with Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. We appreciate everything Mount Carmel does for our military, active duty members, the veterans, reserves, also National Guard, and their spouses. Thank you so much for everything they do. And Mike Viersma, he is with Ant Credit Union. Mike, some great information. Before we go on, we'd like to let our audience know a little bit about those folks who are providing this valuable information. Liz, I understand you like to quilt. Is that correct?
I do. I'm a quilter, and about 5 years ago, helped establish Mount Carmel Quilters. We're a chapter of the Quilts of Valor Foundation, and so we make and award quilts to veterans who are nominated, and actually had an awarding ceremony yesterday, and I had the pleasure of awarding a quilt to a World War II veteran.
Nice.
That doesn't happen very often. So that was really neat. Yeah.
Were there any tears in the eyes on that one? I would imagine so.
Yes, definitely.
And by the way, congratulations on your 35th wedding anniversary. So I have to ask you, You got married on the 4th of July.
We did.
How did that happen?
Well, a couple of things. So at the time, my husband and I were both active duty, so it was a 3-day weekend.
Okay.
and just timing and, you know, hey, we have fireworks every year, so.
That's true. That is very true. It's just finding a chaplain or someone to perform the wedding on the 4th of July. Did it take you a little bit of extra time?
Well, we actually eloped and got married in Lake Tahoe, California.
Okay.
So, you know, they always have chapels open.
Gotcha. And let's turn to Mike for just a couple of fun facts here before we dive into the ongoing topic about fraud and things you need to be aware of when it comes to ID theft and things like that. I understand you like to cliff dive, Mike.
Yeah, don't do it as much anymore. One too many injuries along the way, but definitely always was a thrill seeker, and something that I like to hang my hat on is before I was quite as broken as I am now, I did get the opportunity to cliff dive across 3 different countries, kind of all up and down North America there, just making sure I jump off tall things.
All right. Well, I'm retired Navy, and part of my training when I went in required me to jump off, I think it was a 12-foot platform. It scared the heck out of me. So the fact that you could cliff dive, I can only imagine. So it sounds great. Also, you started dating your wife in 8th grade, so long-term relationship there.
Yeah. You know, for I don't have 35 years by any means, but I think, you know, from age, we've been around for a couple minutes there. You know, we've been together since 8th grade and have two beautiful kids, if I do say so myself.
Congratulations. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, let's go ahead and jump back into the topic that we're really covering is how to protect people, their money. There are fraudsters out there, scams going on. It seems like there's a new one every day. Mm-hmm. That's a slight exaggeration, but probably not too much. Question for Mike or Liz, whoever wants to take this. What are some of the top forms of ID theft?
So when you're looking at ID theft, there's kind of a couple different avenues to really consider. There is how is it happening, and then what are they doing with it? And so, you know, I can cover this piece on, you know, where are you vulnerable? Where are people really taking advantage of that? And the common ones, of course, would be if they're hacking and getting into a computer, or they're just buying information that's out there. You know, people who are putting resumes online, and this information is now available to the public, and they're getting as much of it as they can. They're scooping all of that up. There's the phone calls that we get seemingly every day now. I don't know that there's going to be a listener that, you know, is here and hasn't gotten a call about how their car's extended warranty is expiring soon. When they're getting this information, you know, when this is going through, anything that you tell someone is information that can be taken advantage of. Mm. But the other areas that people may not be considering is they may have a lot of security and firewalls on their computer, but are they also doing that on their cell phone? Or you're really careful with all this digital information, but are you doing the same care with the mail that you're throwing out? Mm. You know, when it comes to identity theft, there is no truer moment for the one man's trash is another man's treasure. Mm. All of your information that you just throw out on a day-to-day basis is a gold mine for these people trying to take advantage of you.
So invest in a shredder, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So that is definitely good advice. Mm-hmm. When you were talking, Mike, one of the things that anyone who's online now, it's frustrating, but having good, strong passwords. Mm-hmm. And I know they recommend, and that's the frustration. We should have a different password for every different site. It's easier said than done.
Sure.
But passwords are important, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. Having a unique password for every account is it's really important, and yes, it's a pain to manage, but there are many password manager programs out there. Mm-hmm. And as much as they can, your information is locked down and encrypted and, you know, secure. So it is a way to keep your password secure while also making it easy to access them. Mm-hmm. Or easier. So.
And they a lot of websites, I think Ed's even done this now, it's the two-factor authentication. Mm-hmm. And it's a pain because you get ready to log in, you get a text message, was this really you? But again, it's all being done to protect you.
It is, yeah. So you have, you know, oh, and then where's my phone? Oh, I left it upstairs. Okay, so, yeah. It is, again, in the moment, an inconvenience, but, you know, long-term really does or can help to protect our information.
Well, to show folks just how important and real this problem is, can give us a dollar amount idea of how fraud is impacting this country.
Yeah, so when we look back to just last year and we look at what did the FTC put out there in reports, you know, you look at a total loss of over $3 billion for people here in America, you know, just an average or median loss there of about $308 for any incident of these fraud and scam attempts. So it's hugely impactful. You know, they may, to some people that may not sound like a lot, but $300, it goes a really long way when you're trying mm-hmm. to get by, especially when you look at last year specifically, how much people were struggling, how hard financial times could really be there. So when you're looking at, you know, government benefits and those are those different fraud attempts of unemployment or the like being almost a third of the fraud cases that happened mm. or credit card fraud, whether that being someone using your credit card for a case that wasn't you making purchases or someone applying for a new credit card in your name. You know, these are other huge circumstances, other big cases of the fraud going on out there. So, yeah, over $3 billion that was just taken away from people due to these circumstances.
Well, that's real money.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting, too, is that even though the median loss was a little over $300 mm-hmm. per case, overwhelmingly, most of the dollar amount in fraud was less than $100. Mm-hmm. So it's not a large amount, you know, per case that is being stolen, mm-hmm. but it all adds up. And it's worth, you know, I think with those small dollar amounts, you know, you might see a transaction for $15 that you don't recognize. But, you know, you think, it's $15, whatever. It adds up. And they may come back for more because, well, they did it once. So,
sure. Yeah. Once they figure they've got you.
Yeah.
And just on a personal note, my father-in-law, who has recently passed away, but a couple of years ago, and he was in his 80s, at the upper 80s at the time, he would get fraud calls. He'd hang up on them. One guy called him back, and I'll never forget this, because he left a message for my father-in-law, threatened to come in there and attack him and do some terrible things.
Oh,
and it was nasty.
Yeah.
I mean you knew it was fraud, mm-hmm, from the beginning, and who knows where in the world this person was located. We don't know, but some of these people are very mean, based, mm-hmm, on what I heard off that message. It was, mm-hmm, bad. So people need to be aware.
Yes.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about specifically fraud to the military community. And again, I think it was you, Mike, that mentioned, you know, or Liz, that, you know, when people see someone in the military, they know they've got a regular paycheck. It's coming every couple, you know, once a month or 2 weeks, however their allotment is set up. So the scamsters, fraudsters know, hey, this person's got income. What are some of the top fraud issues that are affecting the military?
So military is actually in a lot of ways going to mimic what we see in the general public.
Okay.
And oddly enough, some of the most common, and what we see especially in the financial industry, the most common types of scams that are going on are dating schemes. These people who are, you know, posing and building this relationship online. And it happens in the military because who knows where you're going to be stationed. Mm-hmm. So you may have this now long distance relationship, and this person that you're building this relationship and beginning to care for, and suddenly they need help. And it's playing on people's emotions that is really getting to them. And they're saying, oh, you know, I'm in a really dire strait. My car broke down. I don't have the money to fix it. Can you just send me this much money that I need to get it fixed? So it's an emotional play. All of the different scams that are going on are an emotional, mm-hmm, play. Something that spiked last year that eats away at me in a really special way is charity fraud. Mm. Mm. People who are posing as a reputable charity, or people who are creating fake charities and saying, you know, hey, the world's in trouble, right? People are in rough times and dire straits, and we want to help. So we want to come together. Can you donate to the cause? And it's a sick kind of person that do something like that and just take advantage of goodwill to try and to further themselves.
It is something to be worried about and, mm-hmm, and alert about. One of the things, Mike, that you mentioned that triggered me is friends request on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You really need to think twice before you – do you know this person? Is this really who they say they are? This person who comes out of nowhere wants to be your friend. Well, you got to weigh that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And also a lot of the little fun polls and, you know, surveys that you can fill out on Facebook. You click a link and then it, you know, I don't know, it's like a personality test or something like that.
Right.
But you're providing a lot of really personal information. Mm-hmm. And so
again,
recommend
just
not
careful.
Even be careful. You know, anything online, you have to, mm-hmm, verify.
Yeah. What Harry Potter house are you? Just tell us what your childhood pet's name or the street that you grew up on. Just answer a few of these that are common security questions, and we'll tell you what color is your aura.
Yeah. And then they know some pretty personal information about you.
And then it may be 6 months or a year before they come back and decide to use that against you because, mm-hmm, they let a little time go by.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, some good, great information, both Mike and Liz. We appreciate it. As far as protections that are in place for the military community, and I imagine these protections are in place for civilians too, but talk about that if someone is taken advantage of.
So just, you know, generally speaking, if depending on, you know, what type of – what's happened, so what is the situation, you know, it might be it might be a situation that requires filing a police report and starting that process – of recovering your identity. So contacting the FTC, filing a fraud alert again with the credit bureaus, freezing your credit, and then also letting your financial institutions know and monitoring them, mm-hmm, pulling your credit report, monitoring that. You know, when you file a fraud alert with the credit bureaus, you have more frequent access to your credit report or through the credit bureau. So you have to be alert, and, you know, you can purchase identity theft protection. There are a number of companies who offer that. And, you know, like I said before, a lot of most banking institutions, you know, have those detection systems in place too, to that they monitor your accounts and flags will go up and then you'll be alerted.
And if someone has questions, can they reach out to you at Mount Carmel or someone else at Mount Carmel or Ant about fraud and security issues?
Absolutely. Yep. They can reach out to me at Mount Carmel.
And that number, by the way, 719-772-7000, or Ant, you've got the customer service numbers and many branches throughout Colorado.
Yep, stopping in at a branch or anything like that. We've got financial coaches that can, you know, if you are facing credit fraud or something like that, somebody can sit down and go through that credit report with you and answer questions that you may have and why things are showing up in any given way.
What social engineering and trends, are you seeing anything that you'd like to talk about when it comes to scams like that?
So social engineering and kind of what I referenced earlier, when you're looking at how are these scams happening, why are people being taken advantage of and why are they so successful that they can get $3 billion from our people, and it comes down to they're playing on your emotions. So social engineering, whether that's a dating scheme where they are building that relationship and making you care about this person so that you want to help, or whether you are getting that threatening call, or they're coming from a place of authority saying, you know, this is the IRS calling, this is the police calling, or this is a threat to your family. You know, the number of people who have had grandchildren abducted according to these calls or emails is, it's disgusting, because they're trying to play on creating this extreme amount of stress, this extreme amount of urgency in whatever actions you're taking to respond. And that's how they get you. You look at 82 seconds. 82 seconds is the amount of time that it takes on average for the first person to fall for a scam once they've hit that send button or that call button, because they are trying to make you act now. So the best protection you can do when it comes to this is pause. Just take a step back, think, breathe before you act. You know, any of these cases, if it's the police department, if it's the IRS, if it's anything like that, nothing's going to happen between now and 45 seconds from now for you to just take that step back, think about what's going on. If they say that a member of your family is in danger, maybe hang up and try and get a hold of that family member and talk to them. You know, take these additional steps to just breathe. Try and remove that stress and get that blood pressure a little bit down so you can make the best decision possible in that circumstance.
Well, that's terrific advice. I'm not the subject matter expert here, but one of the things that I've been told, and it goes back to my time in the Navy, is if you're on vacation, don't put it on Facebook that you're out on vacation. Because if people have figured out where you live, well, guess what? They now know that there's an empty house at such and such address.
Absolutely.
So if you want to post your vacation pictures, what I have been told from experts and law enforcement is do it when you get back.
Yes. And also, you know, people in El Paso County, they can contact the sheriff's office, let them know, they can fill out a form online, let them know that they're going to be out of town, and the sheriffs will do a drive-by.
That's good to know. So again, it's unfortunate that we have to be extra vigilant, but it is what it is, and it's better to be thinking ahead and instead of having to be reactive after the fact. Well, Liz and Mike, any final thoughts that you'd like to pass along to folks? Because this has been very informative.
You know, I think the bottom line is just be aware and pay attention to what's going on. And if you see something, say something, you know, act on it. So.
And don't click on that link if you're
and
not
don't
sure.
click the link, right?
Nope. Just take that deep breath and just take an extra couple of seconds and protect yourself.
All right, great advice. It was good to see both of you. Thank you for enlightening our listeners with some tremendously important information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Michael is filling in for John Register. This is Tactical Advantage.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
If you're Medicare eligible and military connected, Rich Lewis and Medicare Mentors will guide you through setting up coverage to make sure that you have the right options. Call Rich Lewis at Medicare Mentors at 719-886-3377. Medicare Mentors, personal guidance at no cost consultation for military connected service members. Committed to advocate for you today and all of your tomorrows. Proud sponsors of Tactical Advantage. Heard every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on KPPF.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
We would love to welcome in our next guest, Jacqueline Chirac, Director of Women's Programs at Veterans Path. Jacqueline, thank you for making time for us this morning.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Well, I understand you are a proud Navy nurse veteran. Tell us a little bit about what you did in the Navy.
I am, yes. So I went the ROTC route. So joined the Navy out of high school, went through college and nursing school at Villanova University, and then got commissioned after my senior year. Moved to San Diego, and I served at the Balboa Hospital out there in San Diego for 4 years, working with women in postpartum and in labor and delivery. And then after about 4 years, I separated and continued my service in other ways.
Well, terrific. Well, thank you for your service, and I know the San Diego area well. I'm in the Navy myself, so again, thank you, and I know you had a good time, and again, we appreciate you serving our country. Speaking of our country, let's dive right into it. What are some of the challenges that we see right now as far as, well, you know what, let me back up just a moment. What is Veterans Path?
So Veterans Path is a nonprofit based in Colorado, and we teach meditation and mindfulness to veterans, which for me is very synergistic because this is what I discovered when I was still active duty, meditation and mindfulness, to really help me manage the stress and the overwhelming fatigue of trying to survive in the military world, not only as active duty, but also as a military spouse. So what we get to do is help people that are either transitioning out of the military, which is such a profoundly stressful experience, or if we can meet them before they get out, wonderful. If we meet them 10, 20 years after they've gotten out, beautiful. Wherever they are in their military active duty to veteran cycle, we want to meet them where they're at, provide them the support of the tools and the power of meditation and mindfulness to be able to look at their own thoughts, look at their own experiences, be able to process that, and then be surrounded by a supportive community that can really help not only understand what they've been through, but help them get to where they want to go.
Jacqueline, you mentioned mindfulness. What does that mean? Explain that a little bit more, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, meditation and mindfulness are connected, but also very unique. And so mindfulness is really about present moment awareness. So it's not something that you have to, you know, go sit in a chair in a dark room to do. It's something that, it, like in this moment, being aware of my breathing, being aware of the sounds of a dog barking outside, aware of your voice and this connection we're having, the temperature of the room on my skin. So it's really about taking in all five senses into the present moment to come into this space. So that way, you know, our minds that love to spiral either into the future, to worry, to fear, to anxiety, or to the back, you know, regret, guilt, sort of remorse over things in the past. And our mind loves to play these games and go back and forth and back and forth. And mindfulness is about just coming and being right here, right now.
And that sounds like it can really help folks that are dealing with stressful situations.
Absolutely. I mean, whether it's, you know, interviewing for a job or raising young kids or going out, you know, into public in COVID, right? I mean, there's so many demands on our nervous system in the modern age. So this is a tool that really helps everyone across the board.
Terrific. Well, thank you for giving us a little bit of a tutorial on how mindfulness and meditation can be a big help to folks. Let's go ahead and talk about your military career just a little bit. And specifically, did you face any challenges and what were they and your ability to thrive as a woman serving in the military and the Navy specifically?
Absolutely. So, you know, I would say my biggest struggle was actually the indoctrination process. So coming out of, you know, high school and kind of wide-eyed and a bit naive to the military world, I really didn't have anybody that had mentored me in what that experience would be like. And going into ROTC and being, you know, screamed at and, you know, having things thrown at me and 6 weeks of really being treated as not so much another human being deserving of respect, but somebody that they wanted to break down to build back up, which is the military way. And for me, you know, what that meant was I had to shut down my connection to my emotions, right? It wasn't safe to feel scared. It wasn't safe to feel sad. It wasn't safe to feel angry. All these things, these emotions that I had to really shut down and disconnect from those. So during that process, I really began to compartmentalize, you know, to be able to survive in this very masculine driven world. And I thought, you know, it's just me, right? Like this, I just have to be this way to be able to, you know, thrive in this environment. And once I get it, once I figure it out, you know, I was all in, just show me the way. And I couldn't understand why I was suffering so badly, why, you know, having this stoic, you know, demeanor and gritting through life, why that wasn't helping me actually thrive. And it wasn't until I was actually active duty and serving that I had the fortune, the blessing, the gift of working with women giving birth in this very feminine environment. And I, for the first time, started to connect with other women, both active duty and civilians within that hospital setting, that were showing me there was another way that I could actually feel what I needed to feel. I didn't have to either take it all in or shut it all down. And be able to witness the fact that, you know, as women, we are meant to feel, we're meant to express, we, as part of our gift, and especially myself being a caregiver in that setting, you know, I didn't have to stay in that hyper masculine for so long. Whereas a lot of women who enter into the military and continue in that hyper masculine route, whether it's, you know, engineering, logistics, intelligence, surface work. I mean, pretty much anything outside of healthcare is going to be very, very masculine energy. And so, right, you just keep going down that path because that's really the only path that's shown to help you succeed in the military, to be able to continue a career in the military. And so what happens is, you know, women continue doing this and they continue shutting down more and more parts of themselves. And, you know, I say women, I mean, this is men too, right? Feminine qualities are not unique to women. It's women and men. It's just that, you know, women tend to have a higher percentage of that as a majority. But so they end up, you know, shutting down huge parts of themselves and they're trying to thrive and succeed in this masculine heavy world. And then at the end of the day, they get out and, you know, all these things that they've been fighting for and gritting it out for, it all just dissolves, right? And that transition period is so eye-opening for so many people of, you know, what have I really been fighting for and what do I do now, right? I've lost these parts of myself. I feel broken. I feel, you know, like I have no sense of purpose anymore and I don't know how to thrive in this new world. I couldn't even figure out how to thrive in that world. And it's really about pulling back in these pieces of ourselves that we had to shut down, deny, compartmentalize to survive and be able to be, you know, the military service members we wanted to be and be able to reconnect and heal those parts of ourselves.
Jacqueline, as I was listening to you answer that last question, I thought to myself, you are so uniquely qualified and can give us so many insights because of obviously you being a woman, but also you are in healthcare. So that gives you another unique perspective. And I would like to ask you some of the biggest struggles you see women in the military face and also that are also transitioning back into civilian life. What are your some of your experiences?
So, you know, lack of support is a huge one. You know, there's so much competition within the military to succeed that a lot of times women are pitted against each other and not looking, not wanting to look vulnerable and admit that we need support, we need help. And so a lot of times people are just trying to, you know, just grit it out on their own, which isolation is the number one predictor of suicide. And so as we're seeing now, like with added isolation with COVID and military personnel transitioning out during this time, on top of all of that, right, that isolation piece is so detrimental, not only to the mental health, but physical health and well-being. And then just, you know, that ability to connect with ourselves, right? So I was saying before that those emotions, that emotional aspect, that is really not something that is supported in the military, whether you are active duty or you're a military spouse, everyone is just trying to be really brave. And everyone thinks everybody else has it all figured out. And they must be the only ones that there's something wrong with that, that they're struggling, you know, that they need to fix themselves, when really, while there's, you know, I have so much love and honor with having served in the military, there's a lot in that system that sets a lot of people, and women especially, up for failure.
Well, as women detach from the military and maybe they have some healing issues they need to seek and get some assistance, how do we help women veterans find that help that they're looking for?
Yeah, so the main thing is talking, right? Being able to connect. So if you know somebody who is active duty, getting ready to transition out, or within those first couple of years of transitioning out, to really talk to them and not just say thank you for your service, but to ask them, how are you doing? You know, how has this transition been? Are you feeling alone in this? Is there something I can do? Do you want to go get coffee sometime? Right? Little things of just people knowing that somebody cares and is willing to ask a little bit more than just say thank you for your service, which is a beautiful gift, but it can sometimes create a barrier where people don't feel comfortable opening up about maybe something they're struggling with. And then, you know, what we offer at Veterans Path is something that I think is this new wave. We've been doing it for about 12 years. But, you know, a lot of other organizations are starting to recognize that the unique experiences of women in the military, not only regarding just being a woman, but also things regarding, you know, military sexual trauma and these aspects that, not that all men have not experienced these things, but a very high majority of women do. And it really shapes their ability to transition successfully. And so creating programs, we have things like our Anchor program, which is a 4-month retreat, where it's a week immersive experience with, you know, the tools of meditation and mindfulness, being out in nature, and then building that connection of sisterhood with the women, and then a 4-month follow-on process after. I'm also leading a series right now, a virtual series called Brave, which is a breathwork recalibration and veteran empowerment series, but really getting women, giving women the ability to share their stories and to be able to learn some tools to help themselves, because everybody who has served in the military is very strong, is very powerful, is capable of so much. It's just that so often we're used to doing that for somebody else's mission. And it's about empowering women to, you know, use that same strength and fire for their own life and for their own missions.
You're listening to The Tactical Advantage. Mike Lewis in for John Register. Our guest right now is Jacqueline Chirac. Jacqueline, can you explain what vicarious trauma is, and then how does it impact military spouses?
Yeah, so, you know, vicarious trauma is really trauma that is not experienced directly, but it's indirectly experienced. And so what happens a lot with military spouses is, you know, they're seen as, you know, maybe being on the home front and, you know, okay, maybe there's some stressful things that happen when husband's deployed, wife is deployed and taking care of the kids and such an additional aspect of that is this vicarious trauma piece, because when you're active duty, when you have to go to war and combat, you have to compartmentalize. You have to be able to go and do what you need to do overseas, and then, or in training and life and death situations, and then come home and eat dinner with your family and then go back to work, right? And so what happens is a lot of times the spouses end up absorbing the trauma that the active duty service member is not able to process or release appropriately in that experience. And so they end up taking that on themselves and carrying that almost, you know, I don't want to say as a burden, because they don't even realize it's happening, but they're taking it in and they're absorbing it all, so that that service member can continue to go and do what they need to do. Meanwhile, the spouse is at home holding all of that emotional baggage from the trauma that that person that they love has been going through.
And I would imagine if both spouses are serving in the military, that could even double the problem or make it significantly more incredibly challenging to deal with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's no two, you know, military careers that are the same. And so it's not to say that people don't, you know, enter the military and have a really wonderful, positive, beautiful experience and exit and, you know, are like, you know, I don't understand. Like, I had a great experience. And so it's really about understanding that this isn't saying it's a blanket for everyone, but most people that enter into the military and go to war and are experiencing those things, whether they are on the front lines or they're assisting in that or they're at home, it has a tremendous impact on their ability to, you know, to thrive.
Final question we have for you this morning is, suicide's a problem and a crisis in this country, and it's affecting veterans. Unfortunately, everyone it affects, it's unfortunate. But what is Veterans Path's vision for helping to end this suicide epidemic?
Absolutely. So, yeah, suicide and helping to end veteran suicide is really one of our top missions. And so much of it is about, you know, I was mentioned earlier, that isolation piece, right? So empowering people with the right information, the right tools. We started a new chatbot, which is can be found on our website, which is a, you know, 24/7 discussion chatbot where you can talk if you're going through a hard time and be connected to a live operator. One of the things we, and that was a partnership we actually did with the Chopra Foundation and X2AI. So, you know, they're also very passionate, Deepak Chopra and the Chopra Foundation, about ending global suicide. So much of what we do is about impacting the individual so that they can get in a place where they can then offer that peer-to-peer support to another veteran. So, you know, if you go back to, you know, the buddy system back in, you know, field warfare, you know, the first aid that you get is buddy care. Mm. And we know the power of peer-to-peer support. And so we want to help any veteran who is ready to raise their hands and say, I would like some tools, I'm struggling, I would like some help, or I'm doing okay, but I want to feel better, and then be able to empower them to then go out now that they are feeling strong and secure and grounded and balanced in their own bodies and minds, to be able to then go out and help another veteran and create this, you know, peer network of support across the U.S. and then across the globe, to be able to let people know that they're not alone.
Terrific. You mentioned just a couple of moments ago the website. What is Veterans Path website, please?
Yes, it's www.veteranspath.org.
All right. Terrific information. It sounds like there are some great resources if folks would like to reach out to you at the website.
Yes, and we are going to be starting at the Mount Carmel Service Center in August. It's going to be the first and third Thursday afternoon, and it's going to be just a drop-in style introduction, meditation, mindfulness. So if anybody is local and listening, please drop in and check us out.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you so much, Mike. I hope you have a beautiful day.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
In today's tough economic times, it can be hard to make sure you're working with companies that have your best interest at heart. Because of this, you can count on the Wire Nut to go the extra mile to make sure that you and your investments are protected. You can trust the Wire Nut for licensed HVAC technicians, master electricians, and plumbers. The Wire Nut is your complete home service company. They strive to make sure you are comfortable in your home and that your home is safe. Call the Wire Nut Home Services at 719-465-5902. Online at thewirenut.com. Proud sponsor of the Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Advantage. This is Mike Lewis sitting in for John Register. Be sure to follow John throughout the week on social media on his website, johnregister.com. Thank you very much to all our guests today for their knowledge and wisdom. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 for the Tactical Advantage on KPPF Radio, 95.7 FM, 1040 AM, and 98.5 FM. Also on the web at kppfradio.com.
This has been Tactical Advantage with John Register, heard every Saturday at 8 a.m. on KPPF, presented by Mount Carmel Veteran Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, WireNut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Listen to the companion podcast on kppfradio.podbean.com.